seek God's help, not to worry, but to trust. And it starts with right praying, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. This is what we are to do instead. But in everything. So don't be anxious. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about that test. Don't worry about your car getting you to work. Don't worry about your bills. Don't worry about your health. Don't worry about anything. So what are we to do instead of worry? Everything. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So the first thing that we need to follow, not to have a heart and mind just consumed with worry, is giving it to God. One of the first responses that we should have when we ever find ourselves that we are prone to worry about something is, I'm starting to fret, I'm starting to get stressed out, I'm starting to worry about this. Let me run to God. Let me run to God. And notice there's three words here that Paul uses. He doesn't just say pray about it. He says specifically, first of all, pray. That's the first word he uses, prayer. And that word prayer, it means it's a general word to give your petitions to the Lord, but it implies worship. It implies adoration. So the first response, when you find yourself starting to worry, and if you're not worrying now, give yourself 10 minutes. Give yourself a day. And when you find yourself, you're starting to worry about something, first things you should do is to worship God. You adore Him and you praise Him for who He is, the Creator and Savior of this world, that He is sovereign, He's in control of everything, He's working everything for your good to conform you to the image of Christ, and you just start worshiping God for who He is. And watch your mind and your heart, how it starts to become guarded with the peace of God. You pray, you worship. Then he says specifically prayer and supplication. Other translations say petition. Supplication. Earnest, sincere sharing of our needs and problems. God wants to hear from us. Some people have asked or wonder, well, why do I need to pray? I mean, God knows everything. He knows all my needs. Why does God want me to pray? Because He loves you in the way He has created you in the image of God to worship Him, to have a relationship with Him, He understands that through your prayer life, you are showing utter dependence upon Him. You are demonstrating that submissive mind that you can't do it in your own strength. You need God. You need His power, not your own. And you understand that it's because of Him that you're saved. It's because of Him that you have breath. It's because of Him that you have food in your stomach. And you ask for everything in the name of Jesus Christ, that He is the great provider. He wants you to have that dependence upon Him. It's for your own good. It's an opportunity to worship Him. Now, He does not want to hear from us empty, idle phrases. We're warned against that as well, aren't we? Matthew 6:7, Jesus said, "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words." It's interesting in the context of that verse, Matthew 6:7, we have the Lord's Prayer. I grew up not a Christian. I grew up going to church. And one thing I remember is the Lord's Prayer. And it was beautiful to hear as a kid. The congregation would say it together. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as you have forgiven those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We would say it in unison, and it was beautiful, and I had no idea it was in the Bible. No idea. Sounded cool. Something we did. Empty, idle talk. It wasn't sincere. It wasn't birthed out of relationship with God. It was just something we did. Our prayer lives shouldn't be something that we just do. They should be sincere supplications. We are concentrating and we are worshiping the Father and we are focused and we have hearts of gratitude and we're thankful. We understand that God is the one who can provide all our needs according to His riches and glory. And we humbly, sincerely pour our hearts before Him. And it's a beautiful act of worship. Oh, why don't we do it more often? It's such a wonderful privilege to talk to our Heavenly Father. Why don't we do it more often? Prayer, supplication. Thirdly, thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Giving thanks to God. Paul says in Colossians 3, verses 15 to 17, listen to the three times the word thankful or thankfulness or thanks is used. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, in which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. I love the illustration of Daniel. Love the book of Daniel. It's a great book to study. Daniel, as a young man, stood for the Lord. He didn't compromise his faith. If another guy, if he had an opportunity, I mean, an excuse to worry would be Daniel. His life was threatened several times. Well, one that came to mind is when the king announced that none of his subjects was to pray to any god. It was a law, except to the king. Well, Daniel wasn't about to do that. He wasn't about to pray to a king. And he wasn't about to allow the threats of a king or an ungodly law to prevent him from praying and talking with his Father. Daniel chapter 6, I'm going to read to you verses 10 and 11. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went into his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open for all to see towards Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. He didn't change one thing. He always prayed three times a day. Didn't matter what law was in place. He was going to be obedient to God's calling. He understood the importance of that relationship, that it was the power of God that he needed. It was the peace of God that he desired. So he was going to pray. And I don't find Daniel fretting or worrying about it. I mean, he trusted. If God wanted his life taken, to be taken, but he was going to live his last breath to the glory of God. Notice again, in that passage, he prayed, he gave thanks, and he made petitions. Three things that should be a part of our prayer lives. Prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. And the result was perfect peace in the midst of a great difficult time for Daniel. But then you think of the king. Daniel was able to spend the night in the lion's den in perfect peace. In the midst of man-eating hungry lions, he had the peace of God. While the king, in his nice, comfy palace, could not sleep. So don't tell me that the peace of God is dependent upon our circumstances. So we need to stop making excuses. Well, yeah, I know I shouldn't worry. I know I shouldn't be stressed. I know I shouldn't have this ulcer. But, and I'm not saying all ulcers are because of worry. It's not dependent on what you're going through. In fact, those difficult times are opportunities to experience the peace of God on a level that you could never experience without those trials. They're opportunities to grow in the grace and knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So you have right praying. And then you have right thinking, verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, whatever stresses me out, whatever makes me worry. Is that what it says? No. If there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So when we pray, first of all, what happens? It says our hearts and minds are guarded. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guards our hearts and minds. As Paul is writing this, he is literally being chained to guards. But he's saying, the guard of my heart and my mind is the peace of God. And I experience that peace through praying. I experience that peace by thinking on things that are pure, lovely, commendable. Things that are worthy of excellence, of praise. Anybody here ever gone through something and you're already stressed out before you actually get into bed and lay down because you're thinking, okay, I'm not going to sleep tonight. You ever been there? Come on. Because you know it's going to be difficult to sleep because you're thinking about what you got to do tomorrow. You're thinking about your problem and it's consuming you and you're stressed out and you're worried and anxiety is just engulfed you and you're like, oh man, I'm not going to sleep tonight. Just resign to the fact I'll probably get 2 hours. I've been there. It's not fun, is it? It makes for a difficult day the next day as well. So what should we do when we find ourselves in those situations? We know we're about to go to bed and we won't go to sleep and we need rest. Start praying. Start thinking about the goodness and the grace of God. Start thinking about all your blessings. Start thinking about what awaits you in heaven, that you are a citizen of heaven. Thanking God for all the blessings you have. For your family, your church family, most of all, your salvation. Remember God's faithfulness, how he has brought you through in the past. It's amazing how quickly How quickly I am to forget God's faithfulness in the past. And then I'm dealing with something. I start stressing out. I start worrying about it. And my mind's not focused on God's goodness and His grace and what He's done in the past. And then I'm convicted. Wait a minute. God, you took care of this in the past. You'll take care of it in the present. You'll take care of it in the future. Whatever you desire to happen to me, my family, whatever you require, I know you got it. It's under your control. You're sovereign. You've never failed me in the past. Why should I stop trusting you now? We need to start training our thought processes to start dwelling on the goodness of God. What is praiseworthy? What is pure? Well, sinful thoughts towards others. That's a great peace robber, a great thief of joy. We start thinking about impure thoughts and unholy thoughts. Whether it's negative or sinful thoughts towards other people or lustful thoughts or whatever it may be, and our mind starts focusing on all these things. We know we're not going to be happy and we're not going to have that joy and that peace if we're thinking about that stuff. So we got to train ourselves, don't we? It's a discipline. We can't just say, I want to be joyful. I want to have the peace of that. You just can't say it. It's an inward process. Your heart and your mind. So you're focused on God, what He's done, what He's able to do, and not on your circumstances. So it's right thinking. Whatever is true. Satan is the father of lies. Remember when he was tempting Adam and Eve in the garden, he said in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, did God actually say? He did, but he's trying to cast doubt with God and His Word. And that's exactly what he does to us today. When we find ourselves consumed with problems and worry, we might start doubting certain things that we knew to be true, but we start doubting them. Because our focus now is on ourselves, and we're not walking the Spirit. We're gratifying the lusts of the flesh. So we start thinking about things that, are they really true? Did God actually say that? Finally, verse 9, we see right living. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have those who love your law. Isaiah 26, verse 3. One of my favorite verses. One of about 10,000. I can never, it's hard for me to have a life verse. I'm not against life verses. It's just difficult for me because there's so many great ones. But Isaiah 26, 3, I love. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. When our minds are fixed on God and we are trusting in him, we experience the peace of God. Notice verse 7 says the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. And then verse 9, the God of peace will be with you. We are experiencing the peace of God as we are praying to Him and trusting in Him. And then as we are living for Him, the God of peace will be with us. He'll guide us and He'll lead us. Isaiah 32, 17. And the effect of righteousness will be peace. And the result of righteousness, quietness and trust forever. You cannot separate outward action and inward thinking and desire and attitude. They always go together. Right living is a necessary condition for experiencing the peace of God. I'm sure everyone here could give an example. When they knew they were actively sinning, that they didn't, at that moment when they were actively sinning, maybe they said a harsh word to their spouse, maybe they had an evil thought, maybe they had a fit of rage, whatever it was, when the first things that leaves us is the peace of God. It's the peace of God. Several years ago, in my first church, I lived in the parsonage, and the church was divided by a driveway. And the church had like a loft, and they had an office up there. Great place just to study. I don't remember what it was about, but I remember I had an argument with my wife. I'm sorry, I'm a Christian. We don't argue. It was an intense discussion. No, it was a sinful argument. Call it what it is. And due to my stubbornness, I didn't want to be reconciled. I'm sure it was my fault. Whatever it was, I didn't want to be reconciled. And I had the audacity then to leave the home, go to the church, go upstairs to that loft, to my study, and to attempt to study the Word of God. Without the peace of God, quenching the Holy Spirit, and I just fell under conviction. I either came home were called home to be reconciled to my wife. Right living is a part of experiencing the peace of God. If you are actively sinning, you're not going to have the peace of God. Notice that it says here, what you have learned and received. Two different words there. Then it says, heard and seen. What you have learned and received. Well, there's many things we have learned, many facts of information that we can learn about, but there's a difference between just intellectually learning something and then really receiving it in the inner man. When you receive God's word, the implanted active living word of God, yeah, you first got to understand what it means. You learn it, but then you receive it as your own. This is truth. And you take it inwardly, and it becomes a seed, and it starts to grow and produce fruit. So Paul is saying what you have learned, but also that you not only learned it, you received it. He also says in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it. Listen to this. Not as the word of men, but what it really is, the word of God. If this was not the inspired word of God, there would be no reason for me to be up here this morning. If these were just words that man came up with, this is the wisdom of man, this would not benefit us. The truth is, it is the inspired, infallible word of God. So as we are meditating on it, it changes our thinking. It lets us know when we have wrong thinking, when it's contrary to God's word. It lets us know when we have wrong living, when it contradicts God's word. So we need to not only learn, we need to receive it as the word of God, which it is, and allow it to transform us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You can learn that, like I did as a child, but not receive it. James 1:22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. Practice these things. Don't just be hearers, but be doers. Put it into practice. And watch the transformation take place in your life, in your marriage, in your family. Experiencing the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. That no matter what happens to you, one some event that you didn't expect to happen, you can still have that peace. Again, Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. You know, the peace of God is one test of whether or not we are in the will of God. If we are walking with the Lord, then the peace of God and the God of peace exercise their influence over our hearts and our minds. And then it's ruling in our hearts. Why would you want worry to rule instead of the peace of God? Right praying, right thinking, right living. These are conditions for having the secure mind, for having victory over worry. And yes, whether we call it sin or not, worry is a sin. It is. And it's a great thief of joy. It can cause not only emotional, spiritual, but also physical problems. So grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Enjoy the blessings of the secure mind, the guarded mind. And that's exactly what the peace of God does. It guards your heart and your mind. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. You are here this morning and you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ. You don't have eternal hope. Your sins have never been forgiven. In fact, your sin is weighing on you right now. You have anxiety over it. It's ever before you and it's weighing you down. Look up to the cross. Understand that Jesus died for you. He took your sin in his body on the tree so that you could receive the righteousness of Christ. You could receive forgiveness of sin. You could receive eternal life. That's what Jesus offers. Eternal life. I'm 44 years old. Statistically, I've lived longer than half my life. And There's times I can remember like yesterday, I was in high school or grade school. Life goes by so quickly, doesn't it? Compared to eternity, it is like a mist. It's like vapor. It's here one day, then it's gone. But eternity is forever. And one day, this life, this physical life, will be taken from us. It is appointed unto man once to die. Because of our sin, all of us are growing older and weaker. And one day, life will be taken from us. It could be a disease. It could be a car accident. We don't know. But we do know this. It will be taken one day. The Lord tarries. And you will die. But here's the good news. These bodies that are perishing, they're corruptive, will put on a glorified body if you're in Christ. This life is temporary. Heaven's forever. So if you're here today, you've never asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin, you've never put your faith in Him, today can be your day of salvation. You can be forgiven. It doesn't matter what you've done. Come as you are. Put your trust in the death and resurrection of Christ, and your sins will be forgiven. We are all saved the same way, by grace through faith. By putting your faith in Christ, you access the grace of God, and you are born again, forgiven. You become a child of God, adopted into the family of God. You have the Holy Spirit living within you, and He seals your soul till the day of redemption. For me, it was 1992, 24 years ago, I became a Christian. I finally humbled myself. Didn't have to tell me twice I was a sinner. I knew the things I had done. I knew my wicked deeds, my wicked thoughts. But I finally understood the gospel, that Jesus took my place. That's why He went to a cross. He died for my sin. He took my sin upon Himself so that I could have His righteousness. There is no better deal. He took your sin so that you could have His righteousness. If you've never asked Jesus to save you, make that decision today. He's not going to force you. It's your decision. You are made in the image of God, and you are given free will to either accept Christ or reject Him. It's my responsibility to share you the consequences, to share with you the consequences of rejecting Christ. But then also the blessings of receiving Christ. Today can be your day of salvation. All who call upon Him, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord, will be saved. Romans 10:13. Make that decision. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the opportunity to come together, to love one another, to sing praises to Your name, to study the Word of God, and to give You all the glory. Father, I do pray if there's someone here who has not accepted Christ, that today they would cry out to Him from a repentant heart, putting their faith in Jesus Christ, asking Him to forgive them. Father, I pray for all the believers here today. I pray for someone right now who is going through a difficult time, that they would experience the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that they would trust in You, that they would worship You, that they would think upon things that are excellent and worthy of praise, and that they would present their bodies as a living sacrifice, living for You. Father, we love You because You first loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand. We'll have a verse of invitation. Whatever the need is, just come. Maybe you want to pray for someone that you know who's going through a difficult time, or someone you know who needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whatever the need is, just come. Amen. You may be seated. A few announcements I want to go over. First of all, if you're visiting with us, we'd love for you to fill out the Connect card. It is perforated, so it tears off. And you just kind of fill out how you heard about the church, some information. It would be wonderful to get that information from you. Or if your information has changed, we'd like to hear from you as well. On the other side is a response card. Maybe you made a decision for Christ, or maybe you'd like to be baptized, or maybe you have a prayer request you'd like either just Pastor John and myself to be praying for, or you want the whole church. You can either mark confidential or the prayer team to pass on to the whole church. Awana continues tonight. We started off last week, and it's for ages 3 years old up to 6th grade. So we'd love to have as many kids as we can fit in this building. So if you know anyone, a next-door neighbor that would enjoy coming to Awana, please invite them. There are flyers out in the foyer to take and hand to them. So that starts again tonight, continues tonight at 6 o'clock to 7:30. Our life groups, we have in